the honorable members, both the officials and backup staff that have managed during this critical period. Winter is on us, weather is not good, load shedding is also on us, but everything is on us. But we will survive and we will overcome at the end of the day. Let's go to the agenda, Lindy.
Thank you, Lindy. Before Lindy does, Chairperson, may I just present my apology? I have a doctor's appointment at 11.
Okay, Deputy Minister, which I thought that you'll be the one who will be closing our meeting in terms of, because I was really reminded and cautioned that it will be of the conflict of interest into yourself in terms of starting by a political. But what we can do, maybe we'll see on where and how are you going to protect us, because this is really a working document, and you will also tell us on where do we miss the boat. Thanks ever so much, Deputy Minister. You are given an apology to excuse yourself. But before you leave, you will definitely inform us, even in the chat. There is someone who's talking. I don't know whether it's a mistake or is that Lindy?
Yes, Chair. May I? The system kicked me up, but I'm back. Do you want me to share the agenda?
Please.
We are on load shedding, Chair. There might be some glitches, but I will try to connect. We will be back at 10:30. Where is this agenda?
Thank you, Lindy. Nanso, okay. Welcoming has been done. I've also done short, we'll say, opening remarks. Not going to do a long speech. Can we then get Lindy, who's present, who's not present?
Thank you very much, Chair. Today we have the following members who are in attendance of this critical meeting. We have you, Chair, Member Mvana, we have Member Aris, we have Member Abrahams, we have Member Mutaung, we have Member Masango, we have Member Opperman, we have Member Stock, we have Member Mare, we have Member Manganye, we have Member Pinkulu, we have Member Priet, we have Member Sukas, Chair. Member Fanana indicated that she won't be with us today. She's attending a caucus workshop, but her minority views were forwarded to us and are incorporated in the report. Thank you very much, Chair.
Lindy, who's going to be with us?
I beg your pardon, Chair?
Who is not going to be with us?
Member Fanamer, the Chair.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Lindy, for those Then can we get from the DG, from the official?
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Kumbula.
Okay.
The Deputy Minister is with us. The Minister is not able to join us. The DG as well as ISA, they are in the funeral in the Eastern Cape. The rest of the members are here. with us in the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thanks ever so much. I think we have also covered the issue of apologies, unless there is anything that has been left. Otherwise, the apologies have been noted. Can we then go to the adoption of the agenda as proposed? The agenda is the consideration. Thank you. Honorable Kate, thank you very much. Then I see the hand of Honorable Dehan.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I second the mover for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can we then go to consideration of the B bill? Then the B bill, Honorable Members, as you remember that we were supposed to have adopted it, but because we were not exactly sure and thinking that it was on that day that we have finalized the A bill, so we must be given an opportunity to go back and look at it. And we were... In fact, I will say we were also handicapped by not having the memorandum on that day, and then we requested the members, in fact, the advisors to prepare the memo so as to get into B list today or B version and adopt it, and then we can go to the committee report. So it has been adopted as it is. So can we not waste time? Go to B bill. I am reminded that a B version needs to be done by clause by clause, and we agree on it, and then we adopt that one and we pass over, knowing exactly. We've got 16 clauses, and then we conclude with the B version and go to the committee report. Can we get Lindy to flight the B list so as to go clause by clause? At least 16 clauses are not too much. We are still going to deal with 110 some odd clauses in the second phase. We will request you, Lindy, to flight whatever that we need, knowing exactly that honorable members have their documents with them until we finalize this bill. But I know for a fact it's not easy to have them in front of us, but you will assist us by flighting them. Mr. Chenon? Get ready to assist us in terms of reading. I don't want to waste spectacles, so I will be assisted by you to read clause by clause, starting to read the background or the introduction or whatever that you think it's necessary for us to read, So can you start?
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. Good morning to you and to honorable members, my colleagues in the committee meeting today. Chair, I will just go straight into reading the clauses of the bill, Chair, with the process today being, as you've explained, going through the clauses. I will then read the short title, last Chair, and then the long title. So I'll read the short title just before the long title, and then I'll read the long title last, Chairperson. Thank you. So, Chair, starting with clause one, it reads as follows. Be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 38 of 2005, as amended by Section 3 of Act 41 of 2007, Section 48 of Act 7 of 2013, Section 1 of Act 17 of 2016, and Section 1 of Act 18 of 2016. Section 1. Section 1 of the Children's Act 2005, hereinafter referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended, A, by the substitution for the definition of abandoned of the following definition. Abandoned child means a child who has been deserted by a parent, former guardian or caregiver. B, for no apparent reason, comma, had no contact with the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver for a period of at least 3 months, or C, has, comma, if applicable, comma, no knowledge as to the whereabouts of the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, and such information cannot be ascertained by the relevant authorities. And then B, by the substitution for the definition of cluster foster care scheme of the following definition. Cluster foster care scheme means a scheme providing for the reception of children in foster care, comma, managed and operated by a designated child protection organization or the Provincial Department of Social Development as registered by the Provincial Head of Social Development for this purpose. C, by the substitution for the definition of orphan of the following definition. Orphan means a child whose parent or both parents are deceased. D, by the deletion of the definition of social service professional. E, by the insertion after the definition of sexual offense of the following definition. Social service practitioner means any person registered in a social service profession or occupation within the with the South African Council of Social Service Professions as contemplated in the Social Service Professions Act of 1978 to practice and render a service within the social service sector. Full stop. Thank you, Chairperson. That is clause one.
Thank you, Mr. Mshengane. Can we then get a hand in terms of what is the terminology that is being used, agreed or reject? There are two terminologies that are being used in this B version so as to move forward and continue with it. Honorable Tihang.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to move or make a proposal to agree with the clause as amended in the bill list as a true reflection of what we have agreed and in terms of the amendments in the meeting. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
Okay, clause one, Honorable Stock, agree with it or adopt it. Any of the term that is being used. And can I get any seconder on clause one? Clause one. It's red.
Mutawuche.
Anastasia.
Mutawuche.
Yes.
Seconded. I second.
Thank you very much.
Members.
Thank you very much. On clause one, it has been seconded as red. By Honorable Anastasia. Thank you, Honorable. Can we go to the next clause, Mr. Mshengwane?
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is clause 2, Chair, which is an amendment of Section 24 of Act 38 of 2005. Chair, just to remind members that in the when reading, we exclude those words that in square brackets because those are the words being removed and the words underlined are the words being added into the amendment. So, Chairperson, clause 2 reads as follows. Uvulando, the Chair?
We enlarge the font. We have flight layer.
To broaden.
Will you please enlarge the font, please, Lindy? I think it's you. Is it you? Or somebody's book of it? Okay. Continue.
Hello, members.
Hello.
Am I still in the meeting?
You are still in a meeting. I requested you to enlarge the font if possible.
Okay.
Hi, Fazi.
Ouch, there's a funny, I can't see some of the, let me stop sharing.
We are on clause 2.
Okay, Joe.
Yes.
Where is this document now? It now?
Yeah, that's better. Proceed, Mr. Mshengwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. So we're on clause 2, which reads as follows. Amendment of Section 24 of Act 38 of 2005. Section 24 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the following subsection. 1. Any person having an interest in the care, well-being and development of a child may apply to the High Court or Children's Court for an order granting guardianship of the child. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That's close to.
Thank you, Tatum Mshengwane. Can I then get a person to adopt that clause as read? No hand. It means I must adopt it by myself, eh? Honorable the hand.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Shalo. I move for the adoption of clause 2 as being amended in the bill list. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable the hand. Honorable Anastasia, will be the one in a second.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Second, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can we proceed to the next one, Tatum Mshengwane?
Thank you, Chair. The next one is Clause 3, which is an amendment of Section 45 of Act 38 of 2005. Excuse me. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 45 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the insertion in subsection 1 after paragraph B of the following paragraph. B capital A, guardianship of a child as contemplated in section 24. B, by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph J of the following paragraph. J, a child and youth care center, a partial care facility, or a shelter drop-in center, or any other facility purporting to be a care facility for children. C, by the insertion in subsection 1 after paragraph J of the following paragraph. J, capital A, an unaccompanied or separated migrant child or a child who is an asylum seeker or refugee as contemplated in the Refugees Act of 1998, or D, by the substitution for subsection 2 of the following subsection 2. A children's court must refer any criminal matter arising from the non-compliance with an order of such court or a change relating to any offense contemplated in section 3 or 5 to a criminal court having jurisdiction. E, by the substitution in subsection 3 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. Pending the establishment of family courts by an act of parliament, the high courts have exclusive jurisdiction of the following matters contemplated in this act. F, by the deletion in subsection 3 of paragraph A and B. G, by the substitution in subsection 3 for paragraph H of the following paragraph. H, surrogate motherhood agreement. And H, by the insertion after subsection 3 of the following subsections, 3 capital A, the High Court and Children's Court have concurrent jurisdiction over the guardianship of a child as contemplated in section 24 of this Act. 3 capital B, the High Court, comma, Children's Court and Regional Court have concurrent jurisdiction over the assignment, comma, exercise, comma, extension, comma, the restriction, comma, suspension or termination of guardianship in respect of a child, full stop. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 3.
Okay. Clause 3 is read. I need to get a hand that adopts it. Yes, Kate.
I agree with the clause and I move for the adoption of section 45 and its amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kate. Honorable Dihan.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I second the proposal for the adoption of clause 3. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. We are still going to 16. So it's a delay. Thank you very much. The next item.
The next clause. It is clause 4, Chairperson, which is the amendment of section 105 of Act 3038 of 2005, as inserted by section 5 of Act 41 of 2007. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 105 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the insertion after subsection 5 of the following subsection. 6. The department must, comma, as prescribed, comma, develop and conduct a quality assurance process for the evaluation of A, child protection services, and B, child protection organizations as contemplated in section 107. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 4.
Thank you, Mr. Mtemane. Clause 4 is read. Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I move for the adoption of clause 4 as read and then also propose for its formal adoption. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Stock. Any seconder?
Mtemane, Chair. Second.
Okay, Anastasia. Thank you very much, Anastasia. Second. The next one.
The next clause is clause 5, Chair. The amendment of section 142 of Act 38 of 2005, as amended by section 6 of Act 41 of 2007. It reads as follows. Section 142 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution for paragraph F of the following paragraph, F, prescribing the conditions for the examination or assessment of children who have been abused, comma, abandoned or neglected, comma, including the consent of the child for any such examination or assessment given the age and maturity of the child. And B, by the deletion of the word and at the end of paragraph J, and the insertion after paragraph J of the following paragraphs. JA, prescribes bring the powers, comma, duties and responsibilities of the registrar of the National Child Protection Register. J, capital B, prescribing the criteria for the establishment and resourcing of designated child care and protection units. And thank you, Chair. That's clause 5.
Thank you, Tatun Chengwane. Marathon. Any other hand?
Chair?
Yes?
Honorable Bilangulu, yes. I agree with clause 5. Therefore, I move for the adoption of clause 5, section 142 and its amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kate. Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to second the proposal by Honorable Blankulu for the adoption of clause 5. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Clause 5 has been adopted and seconded. Can we go to the next clause?
Can Thank you, Chair. We're on clause 6, which is the amendment of section 150 of Act 38 of 2005 as amended by section 5 of Act 17 of 2016. It reads as follows. Section 150 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A, has been abandoned or orphaned and has no family member who is able and suitable to care for that child. B, by the deletion of the word or at the end of subsection 1H. C, by the substitution of subsection 1 for paragraph I of the following paragraph. I, is being maltreated, comma, abused, comma, deliberately neglected or degraded by a parent, excuse me, a caregiver, comma, a person who has parental responsibilities and rights, or a family member of the child, or by a person in whose care the child is. And D, by the insertion after paragraph I of the following paragraphs. J, is an unaccompanied migrant child from another country. K, is a victim of trafficking. Or L, has been sold by a parent, comma, caregiver or guardian, full stop. Thank you, Chair. Clause 6.
Thank you, Mr. Mjengane. Can I get someone to move and adopt? Honorable Kate.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with clause 6. I move for the adoption of clause 6, section 150 of Act 38 of 2005. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gates. Yes, adopted clause 6. Can I then get the seconder?
Mr. Winche, I second Honorable Bilangulu.
Okay. Anastasia, second. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Next clause.
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is clause 7, which is the amendment of section 155 of the Act 38 of 2005, as amended by section 7 of Act 17 of 2016. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 155 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution for subsection 2 of the following subsection. 2, a designated social worker must investigate the matter and within 90 days compile a report in the prescribed manner on whether the child is in need of care and protection. B, by the substitution for subsection 5 of the following subsection. 5, if, comma, after an investigation contemplated in subsection 2, comma, the designated social worker finds the child to be in need of care and protection, comma, that child must be brought before the children's court for a hearing upon which such court must make a determination. D, by the substitution for subsection 6 of the following subsection. 6. The children's court hearing the matter may A. adjourn the matter for a period not exceeding 30 days at a time, and B. order that, comma, pending the decision on the, of the matter, comma, the child must, Romelsa 1, remain in temporary safe care at the place where the child is kept. 2. Be transferred to another place in temporary safe care. 3. Remain with the person in whose care the child is. 4. Be placed in the care of a family member or other relative of the child. Or 5. Be placed in temporary safe care. And E. By the substitution in subsection 8 for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A. Must make an order that the child, comma, if the child is in temporary safe care, comma, be returned to the person in whose care the child was before the child was placed in temporary safe care. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That's clause 7.
Thank you very much, Satum Chenone. Let's get someone to adopt. Honorable Kate.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with clause 7. Therefore, I move for the adoption of clause 7, section 155 of Act 38 of 2005 and its amendment. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kate. Honorable Stembile, your hand is up. Any second?
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to second the adoption of clause 7.
Thank you, Honorable Nkomo. Can we then go to the next clause? We're on 8 now.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 8 is an amendment of Section 156 of the Act 38 of 2005, as amended by Section 9 of Act 41 of 2007. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 156 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph B of the following paragraph. B. Confirming that the person in whose care the child is, comma, may retain care of the child, comma, if the court finds that person is a suitable person to provide for the safety and well-being of the child. B. By the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph C of the following paragraph. C. That the child be returned to the person in whose care the child was before the child was placed in temporary safe care, comma, if the court finds that person is a suitable person to provide for the safety and well-being of the child. C. By the insertion in subsection 1 after paragraph C of the following paragraph. C, capital A, that the child be placed in the care of a parent or family member, comma, if the court finds that such person is a suitable person to provide for the safety and well-being of the child. D. By the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph D of the following paragraph. D. That the person in whose care the child was must make arrangements for the child to be taken care of in a partial care facility at the expense of such person, comma, if the court finds that the child became in need of care and protection because the person in whose care the child was lacked the time to care for the child. And E. By the substitution in 1E for paragraphs, Roman letter 2 of the following subparagraphs. Roman letter 2. Foster care with an identified foster parent who is part of a cluster foster care scheme. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 8.
Thank you, Tatum Chenmane. I'm looking for a hand who's going to adopt clause 8, section 156, as read. Honorable Mshongo.
Thank you very much, Chair. I move for the adoption of clause 8 as read.
Okay. Honorable Kate.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move to second the move
thank
by Honorable Ntsongo as read.
Thank you very much. Where are other members? Okay. No, it's fine. Let's proceed to the next clause.
The next clause, Chairperson, is clause 9, which amends section 157 of the Act. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 157 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution in subsection 1 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. Before a children's court makes an order in terms of section 156, for the removal of the child from the care of the child's parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, comma, the court must. B, by the substitution in subsection 1B for paragraph, Roman letter 1 of the following subparagraph, Roman letter 1, leaving the child in the care of the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver under the supervision of a designated social worker, comma, provided that the child's safety and well-being must receive first priority. C, by the substitution in subsection 1B for subparagraph Roman letter 2 of the following subparagraph, Roman letter 2, placing the child in alternative care for a limited period to allow for the reunification of the child and the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, with the assistance of a designated social worker. D, by the substitution in subsection 1B for paragraph, for subparagraph, Roman letter 3 of the following subparagraph, Roman letter 3, placing the child in alternative care with or without terminating parental responsibilities and rights of the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver. E, by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection. 3. A child who is 3 years of age or less, who has been orphaned or abandoned, must be made available for adoption in the prescribed manner and within the prescribed period, except when this is not in the best interest of the child. Full stop. And F, by the substitution for subsection 4 of the following subsection. 4. When issuing an order involving the removal of the child from the care of the child of the child's parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, comma, the court may include in the court order instructions as to the implementation of the permanency plan for the child. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 9.
Thank you,
Dr. Ntsengwane.
Clause 9, section 157. Any member to adopt? Honorable Stock.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I just request the secretary to flight the bill on the screen again because it went missing. Following with what the legal advocate, Mr. Nana, was presenting, just presented now in terms of clause 9, I would like to formally move for the adoption of clause 9. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stock. Lindy, you said that you are having technical glitches, that is the load shedding, but let's request you to once more flight the these clauses. Thank you very much for that adoption, Honorable Stock. I'm looking for the hand who will second you.
Can
we go to the next clause?
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is clause 10, which is the amendment of section 159 of Act 38 of 2005, as amended by section 8 of Act 17 of 2016. Clause 10 reads as follows, Chair. Section 159 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the insertion after subsection 2 of the following subsections. 2 capital A. A court may extend an alternative care order that has lapsed or make an interim order for a period not exceeding 6 months on good cause shown. Full stop. B. 2B. Notwithstanding the amendment to Section 151A, an order placing an off-fund or abandoned child in foster care with a family member in terms of Section 156 before or on the date of this amendment, Act, may be extended by the court in terms of Section 159, Subsection 2, or Section 186, Subsection 2. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That's clause 10.
Thank you, Tatum Jemani. Let me look for a hand that will adopt this one. Will remind me, Honorable Alex, at all times when I read it. Thanks. Any other hand? Am I still in a meeting? Lindy? Lindy. How do
you?
Lindy was cut out. I'm trying to. Fungile, can you make me a co-host, please? Then I can flash the bill.
Please.
Yes, Usisi has just been kicked out.
Okay, thank you very much for that. But the clause 10, section 159, has been read. Honorable Jihan?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of clause 10. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Stock. Any seconder?
Mutawin Che, seconder.
Yes,
seconder, Che.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Mutawu. Can we then go to the next clause?
The next clause is clause 11, Chair, which is the amendment of section 160 of the Act 38 of 2005, reading as follows. Section 160 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by CA, capital A, the procedure, form and manner that a social service practitioner must follow when assessing, screening, investigating, referring to the relevant authority and placing a child who is in need of care and protection. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That's clause 11.
So short and brief to the point, clause 11, section 160. Can I get... Can we flight the bill? Oh, yes, there it is. Thank you very much. Thanks, Yuli. Can I get the hand that will adopt clause 11? Asifumane isandla. Honorable Mshongo.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of clause 11 as read.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable, the seconder?
Mutawin, Chair, seconder.
Oh, Mutawin, thank you very much, Anastasia. It has been seconded. Then we go to clause 12. We're about to finish now.
Yes, Chair, clause 12.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 12 is an amendment of Section 183 of Act 38 of 2005, as inserted by Section 10 of Act 41 of 2007. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 183 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A. The organization operating or managing the cluster foster care scheme must register as a designated child protection organization within 2 years of this provision coming into operation. And B, by the insertion in subsection 1 after paragraph A of the following paragraph, A capital A, the Provincial Department of Social Development or a designated child protection organization must manage and operate a cluster foster care scheme in the prescribed manner. Thank you, Chair. That's clause 12.
Clause 12, section 183, can I get the hand that will adopt as read, Honorable Stock?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of clause 12. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And it's second, Honorable Gates.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable I move Gates. To second. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I move to second the move as Honorable Stock as indicated.
Thank you, Honorable. Clause 12 has been adopted and seconded. Can I go to the next clause?
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is 13. The amendment of Section 185 of the Act 38 of 2005 is inserted by Section 10. Of Act 41 of 2007. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 185 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 2 of the following subsection. 2. Not more than 6 children may be placed in foster care with a single person or two persons sharing a common household in terms of a registered cluster foster care scheme. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 13.
Any hand to adopt that one?
Sir?
Honorable, who's calling me? Honorable Bulyankulu. Honorable Bulyankulu.
I agree with clause 18.
Okay.
Therefore, I move for the adoption of amendment 185.
Okay. Thank you very much for the adoption, Honorable Kate, of clause 18. Yes.
I agree with the clause, therefore I move for the adoption of the clause. And
thank you very much, Honorable Kate. We've heard you. Then, Honorable Songo.
Thank you, Chair. I second the move of the adoption of clause 13.
Okay, thank you very much. 14, the next one.
Thank you, Chair. 14 amends section 186 of Act 38 of 2005 as inserted by section 10 of Act 41 of 2007. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 186 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the insertion after subsection 1 of the following section, 1 capital A. Despite the provision of subsection 1, a children's court may deem it necessary to order further supervision services as contemplated in section 65, subsection 2A, Roman letter 2, Costa B. By the substitution in subsection 2 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words, a children's court may, despite the provisions of section 159, subsection 1A, regarding the duration of a court order, and after having considered the need for creating stability in the child's life, place a child in foster care with a family member and order that the foster care placement subsists until the child turns 18 years, if C, by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection 3. Despite the provisions of subsections 1 and 2, comma, a social services practitioner must visit a child in foster care at least annually to monitor and evaluate the placement. And D, by the insertion after subsection 3 of the following subsection 4, this section does not apply to a cluster foster care scheme contemplated in section 183, full stop. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 14.
Honorable Tembile, clause 14, looking for the hand to adopt.
Thank you very much, Chair. I move for the adoption of clause 14 as read.
Mm-hmm. Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I second the proposal for the adoption of clause 14 as made by Honorable Shongo. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. 15.
Thank you, Chair. 15, amend section 312 of Act 38 of 2005. It reads as follows. Section 312 of the principal act is hereby amended. A, by the insertion after subsection 1 of the following subsection, 1 capital A, the MEC for Social Development may, comma, subject to any provincial strategic plan, comma, enter into an agreement with a designated child protection organization or other appropriate person, comma, for the provision of any service that may or must be provided in terms of this act, comma, by such organization or person on an agency basis in the relevant province, full stop, end. B, by the substitution for subsection 2 of the following subsection 2, the minister or MEC for social development, comma, as the case may be, comma, may delegate to such organization or person such powers and duties in terms of this act as may be required for the proper performance of the service. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That is clause 15.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Section 15, section 312 has been read. I'm looking for the hand to adopt that one. 15. I don't see any hand. We're about to finish in adopting. Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I move for the adoption of clause 15 as read. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Stock. Then any seconder?
Seconded.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mutaung. We're about to finish this. I know for a fact that the weather is not conducive for us. It's worse with you. Thanks. Honorable, Mr.
Chairman,
is it the last?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. The last clause is the short title, Chairperson, and commencement. It is the short title, Chair. So it reads as follows in clause 16. This act is called the Children's Amendment Act, 2020, and comes into operation on a date determined by the president by proclamation in the Gazette, full stop. Chair, I would just want to mention here that the date will consequentially change to reflect the year on which the act or the bill is passed, but that is done by the editors, Chair. So this is what it will read for adoption purposes. Thank you very much, Chair. That's clause 16.
I just want to check Amendment Act of 2005, ne? Not 2020.
No, Chair, the Act itself, the Amendment Act would reflect this year, which is the year on which it is passed. but that is on publication.
Okay, I get you now. Thank you very much for explaining that. Understanding that it was supposed to have been done by that time, and now it's done this time around. Thank you for explaining that. The hand to adopt it, Honorable De Hand, it's the last.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I move for the adoption of Clause 16 as presented and read by the advocate. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Stock has moved and adopted. Any seconder?
Sure.
Yes.
I second the move of Clause 16 as read. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Kate Bilangulu. Seconded that clause 16. Thank you very much. And then, what is it that is next, Honorable? I mean, Mr. Mchengan, what is it that is next?
Chair, the next step is to read into the record for members' consideration the long title, Chair. And it reads as follows. The long title, if you could just move to the long title, Lindy. The long title. So it's at the beginning of the bill, right at the top. It's the words in bold. So the long title reads as follows, members. To amend the Children's Act, 2005, so as to amend and insert certain definitions, semicolon, to extend the Children's Court jurisdiction to further provide for the care of abandoned or orphaned children and the decided matters that may be regulated, to provide for additional matters relating to children in alternative care, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Thank you, Chair. That is the long title which has been amended to reflect the clauses which has just been adopted by committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mchengane. I think we are done with this B version. The memorandum then, is it what you are reading is called memorandum?
No, what I was reading was called the long title, Chair. It is just to be adopted with the rest of the clauses. So there would have to be a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the long title.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. Honorable Stock, can you adopt the long title as read?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the title as presented by Advocate Engineer. Thanks.
Okay. Any seconder on that long title that has been adopted by Honorable Stock? Honorable? Mapabantu Mithun.
Mutawung, Chair, second.
Okay. Honorable Mutawung, second the long title that has been read. What is next then, Advocate General?
Chairperson, the next step would be the memo of objects, Chair. Chair, the memo is just updated to reflect these amendments, Chair, and is not ordinarily read, Chair, unless members have noticed some changes when they were considering the memo that they would like us to update. And if there are no changes, Chair, on the memo after the members have considered it, the next step would be to then put the whole bill before the members to move for the adoption of the whole bill with its memo and then second it, Chair. If that is done, then, Chair, that would be the final thing to do on this bill, Chair, before the committee goes to consider the report on the bill. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Can I get the hand that will move the whole bill, including the memo? Honorable Stock?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I move, finally move for the adoption of the bill. The entire bill has been presented by the advocate to us in the meeting. I formally move for intervention. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Stock has adopted the whole bill, including the memo, as it has been read. And then I need to get the second on that. Siyafunda madoda. I need the second on that. Is there anyone who seconds Honorable Stock?
I second Member Stock. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mutawung. Mutawung seconds the whole bill, including the memo. The next step, we are going to go to the report.
A person, my hands up.
Okay. Excuse me. Honorable Alex and Honorable Briette.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all in attendance. Please note my objection to the B list. Thank you.
Objection by all Alex.
Chairperson, and also please note the objection of myself or the Freedom Fund Plus for this B list. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Honorable Briette, ne?
Correct, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you very much. Noted. Okay.
Honorable Sukar's hand is also up, ma'am, and also Honorable Mare.
Yeah, I can see them in my gadget. Thank you very much for assisting in chairing. Honorable Sukar and Honorable Mare, Polnitz.
Good morning, members. please note my objection to the B list. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sukers. Honorable Polnit, you too.
Morning, Chair and Honorable members. Please note my objection to the B list. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Polnit. Thank you very much. Who else is left? Honorable Anastasia and Honorable Fandameve, are they not in? Well, Fandameve has apologized, okay. And Honorable, I saw Honorable Aris apology saying that she's having a load shedding. Thank you very much. And then, seemingly, Honorable Marie's hand is an old one. Okay, thank you very much. Can we then go to the next item, which is the report? Lindy?
Chair?
Yes? Can you fly to the report? That is the next item.
Okay, Chair, I'll try. If I get lost, you will assist. Yoli, do you have
I do.
Okay.
You want me to try?
Yes. Okay.
Should I go ahead?
No, it's fine. Is it? Can it show now? Yes, sis.
It's not showing yet, sis. Let me try.
Okay.
Can the member see it?
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, we are on your hands, in your hands.
Can you
what
take
would be
us
the approach?
Can you take us through, Lindy? By just reminding us what has happened.
Okay, Chair. Chair,
please, excuse me, Lindy. Please do remind me before the Deputy Minister, please. To give a space in terms of just make few words before she leaves.
Okay, Chair.
Court came on.
Okay, Chair, the first part of the report, it outlines the process, parliamentary process on this bill, when it was referred, the referral and the joint checking mechanism. And then we also stating that we are reporting the bill with amendments, which is the B18A. So this report, when is presented in the House, it will also contain the amendment list as well as the B bill, which is the B version that has been amended by this committee. Chair, here there's also a context and background. Maybe Yoli can talk more because it's more of a content. If you allow me, Chair, to give Yoli to provide the context and background on this report. Through you, Chair. Because you combine this report together.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yoli?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And let me formally greet the members and the colleagues who are here because I have a technical issues earlier because of load shedding. So I missed the first part of the meeting. Okay, Chair, basically this part is just outlining, I think, what the members know, how that came about in this bill and from when the department and SASA were litigated by the Center for Child Law with regards to the foster care backlog court orders at the time. And the rulings that were made by the North Gauteng High Court Chairperson, but in essence, that there should be a comprehensive legal solution to the challenge of foster care, which I think the members are quite familiar with that. And so the bill then seeks to amend the Children's Act of 2005 as one of the legal solution to what the court had ruled. As members can recall, that the first legal solution was through the Social Assistance Amendment Bill, which was done by the committee as well, Chairperson. So this is just basically saying what the bill seeks to do, which is contained, all of this is contained in the bill as it was tabled to Parliament, Chairperson. I'm not going to go to read all of it. It's contained in that version of the bill. Do you want to go on, Sisi, or what now? Because now we're going to the parliamentary processes that were followed. Maybe just to continue to save time, Chair. To say that the bill was tabled to Parliament and was 80-seat for the committee to consider it, which is the Committee on Social Development, the PC. Then the PC then received the briefing on the bill on the 6th of October 2020. At that time, it raised a concern that it had a short period to process the bill as the court deadline was soon to expire or come to an end, which was going to be the 28th of November 2020. Then the committee on the 2nd of September, which supported the legal opinion or option that the department should approach the court to seek further extension. On the 12th of November 2020, then the court extended the deadline for a further 18 months to the 27th of November 2022. In the interim, the committee placed a 6-week notice for advertisement for written submissions. That ran from the 16th of October to the 27th of November 2020. And then it conducted the national hearings virtually from the 11th of May to the 18th of May. The provincial hearings were conducted from the 5th of June to the 10th of December 2021 and all the 9 provinces were visited. And just to report or to highlight the fact that the hearings were suspended due to lockdown travel restrictions in July. They resumed again in August, but again suspended in September. That is now 2021, Chair, due to a House resolution for Parliament to go on recess to allow members to prepare for the upcoming local elections, which were held on the 1st of November, 2021. And thereafter, the committee resumed with the public hearings from 5 November until 10th December, 2021. Also, Chair, as part of this process of public consultation, the committee, before it embarked on it, it had a consultative process or a meeting with the Department of Social Development on 17th February, with the South African Local Government Association on the 24th of February 2021, both dates are 2021, and the Department of Home Affairs on March 2021. And in those meetings, the committee was briefed on the implications of the Children's Amendment Bill to these sectors respectively. The committee also held a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education on 16th of March 2021, to receive a briefing from the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Social Development on their state of readiness for the ECD function shift to DBE, which is the Department of Basic Education. Okay, Chair, and also as part of the public participation process, the committee held 2 closed sessions with children's representatives from the children's organizations. The first session was held in Parliament in person on the 14th of May, 2021. The organizations that were represented in that session were 5, and these were the Western Cape Commission for Children, Say Yes Alumni, National Association of Child and Youth Care Workers, Mamelani Projects, and the Bayakanya Foundation. And then the second session was held virtually with the children's representatives from the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund on the 10th of September, 2021, while the committee was in the Northwest for provincial public hearings. After the conclusion of the public hearings, Chair, both nationally and provincially, then the committee invited the Department of Social Development, of Home Affairs, of Justice and Constitutional Development, of Basic Education, and the South African Local Government Association to respond on the issues raised on submissions made by the public, both nationally and provincially. It also invited 2 experts, Professor Anne Skelton and Dr. Rosenberg, on the 16th of February, which was Professor Skelton, and on the 30th of March, which was Dr. Rosenberg. Professor Skelton briefed the committee on the legal interpretation and application of age of majority, drawing from the international, regional, and local legislative framework. And Dr. Rosenberg briefed the committee on the baby saver concept. Thereafter, the committee proceeded with the formal stage of the bill, which is the clause by clause, from the 1st of April to the 29th of June. Just remove this. Where it deliberated on the clause by clause of the shortened bill, which only focused on the foster care related clauses. It considered the public inputs and the department responses. It then adopted the Children's Amendment Bill A list on the 29th of June 2022 and the B list on the, which is today, sorry, on date, maybe today, Chair, on the 6th of July, 2022. The next section outlines the key issues that were taken by the committee during this process of considering this bill. On the 2nd of September, the committee received, 2020, the committee received the legal advice from the legal team of the department and in Parliament on whether the bill could be split into 2. The advice gave two options. One option was based on fast-tracking the period, which meant the parliament would be required to shorten its process to pass the bill. It however cautioned that splitting the bill may work against the department because the bill had provisions that required regulations to implement a comprehensive legal solution dealing with foster care. This process will still go beyond the time frame remaining for the lapsing of the court order, which then was November 2020. Parliament will also be disadvantaged as the time frame remaining until 26 November 2020 was too little to comply with all the requirements of processing the bill. With regards to option two, it was reported that this option will enable Parliament to comply with all legislative process requirements. This implied that a longer period for processing the bill will also go beyond the 26 November 2020. It will, however, be to the advantage of the department as a comprehensive package will not only deal with foster care, but with all other outstanding amendments to comply with other challenges that the department is faced with. There was also an indirect connection between the rest of the bill and the provisions that deal with foster care. The second option will also entail that the court must be approached for an extension. The department will request the parliament to assist in advising it about the approximate time frame that the department will ask the court extension for and any other support that may be required in this regard. Based on the legal advice then, the committee resolved to proceed with the bill on its entirety. That was the first decision that was taken by the committee chair, the key decision. Then the second one on the 24th of February 2021, during the briefing with SAGA, the committee was informed that the sector was not consulted by the Department of Social Development on ECD and other related clauses, even though it has a constitutional mandate to provide ECD services, which include the structural health and safety standards, inspections, and infrastructure. Then the committee requested the department to present a legal opinion on the matter. On 5 March 2021, a legal opinion was presented and advised that the contested part in the bill, which means all the ECD-related clauses, be removed, consulted with SAGA, and published separately as a second amendment to this current process. This therefore entails that the current process must continue as scheduled without the contested provisions. Mr. Mchenglane, who is the parliamentary legal advisor, concurred with the opinion to reject amendments related to the ECT so as to further allow for further consultation with SAGA. Then the committee agreed with the legal opinion from the department, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor and parliamentary advisor to remove the clauses dealing with ECT and continue with the processes of the bill so as it could meet the court deadline. It also requested a technical team consisting of the representatives from SAGA, from DSD, and the Department of Basic Education to prepare a presentation to the committee with a list of clauses, ECT clauses, to be rejected and also to indicate whether such clauses will have an impact on the provision dealing with comprehensive legal solution on foster care backlog. The committee was also advised of the imminent, which was going to be the 1st of April 2022, of ECD function shift from DSD to the Department of Basic Education. The implications of that was that the committee would not be prudent. I'll change the chair. I should read that it would not be prudent for the committee to legislate on a function that it would not conduct oversight over it. That was part of the advice that was given, Chair. On 17 March, the department presented the ECT clauses to the committee. It noted that the rejection of these clauses would have no impact on the provision dealing with the comprehensive legal solution on foster care backlog. The committee resolved that during the former stage, it would reject the ECT-related clauses based on the legal advice mentioned earlier. On the 1st of April 2022, Mr. Mtengane, the parliamentary legal advisor, provided a legal advice to the committee to consider prioritizing 12 foster care related clauses so that it would meet the court deadline. The committee agreed on the advice. It also agreed that other substantive clauses will be considered in the committee bill as a second amendment. It then requested the legal team to identify the actual clauses that respond to the court order. On 18 May 2022, the committee considered the bill clause by clause, and proposal was made that clause 10 amending section 21 of the Act should be added into the bill. It was motivated that this clause is important because there are many abandoned and orphaned children who are living with their unmarried fathers. Therefore, the application of this clause will prevent these children from ending up in the foster care system. While the committee was considering the bill clause, it was made aware that it did not consider the metrics which contain the public input and responses from the Department of Social Development. It was then proposed and agreed that the committee will start afresh the process in the next meeting of 25 May 2022. On 25 May 2022, the committee considered the bill clause by clause and was in agreement with most of the clauses except for clause 10, which is amending section 21. Majority of the members maintained that the committee will only deal with this clause as part of the Second Amendment bill as it had agreed. Also, this clause received substantial public input that need an extensive public participation process, which could possibly also have to include consulting with the House of Traditional Leaders and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. It was then decided that the clause 10 will not be considered in the current process. The minority members objected and stated that the committee had agreed to include clause 10 in its previous meeting. They questioned the exclusion of clause 10 with the motivation that giving effect to this clause will have an impact on the foster care system in that it will lessen the pressure of this system as biological fathers will have access to their children. The meeting could not reach a consensus on this matter. As a result, the following members left the meeting: Ms. Bridget Masango, Ms. Alexandra Abrahams, Ms. Mary Sukers, Ms. Gisela Opperman, Ms. Tammy Briett, Ms. Leticia Harris, Ms. Liesl van der Merwe. Just to mention, Chair, that in the meeting that was held, the members had asked that the minutes of this meeting should be amended and specify that the members that I just read left the meeting, and so they were not part of the resolutions of that meeting, Chair. Hence now they are mentioned in this report, Chair. Just thought I should explain that it was by the request of the members. Consequently, the minority members rejected the minutes of 18 and 25 May 2022 as not a true reflection of what transpired at those meetings. The next session, Chair, deals with the expressions of minority views. And the first part deals with Rule 288, Subsection 3, F of the National Assembly states that in its report, the committee must, if it's not a unanimous report, one, specify which respects and why there was no consensus. We're going there, Chair, almost there. I think I need water. Okay. In addition to the views, representatives of the majority in the committee convey any views of a minority in the committee in order to facilitate debate when the report comes before the House. Clause 10, amending Section 21 of the Act. The Democratic Alliance, Economic Freedom Fighters, Inkatha Freedom Party, objected. Oh, sorry, Chair, I left out the other one. Sorry, my apologies. The African Christian Democratic Party. My apologies for that. Good, yeah, before the members.
What about the SF Plus?
Sorry, Chair?
What about SF Plus?
Oh, yes. So, Cindy, can you advise? Do I also include it here?
I'm checking.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Chairperson. It's a good question. So, Cindy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will seek advice because the member of the FF Plus
was not present.
She was, Chair. Cindy, where are you now? Are you
okay. Okay, yes, I'm here. What we've done here, we've reflecting the minority views that were submitted to us and as well as minority views that transpired during our proceedings. What in terms of the FF Plus, I need to check because member Briet, she's not a permanent member, either an alternate member of this committee. But a member, any member in the assembly can attend any meeting and participate. But I just want to check in terms of the composition of party, whether we can reflect that in the report. Still, okay. She's not a member of this committee.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Do that. And then so as to adopt the report with all the amendments.
Honorable Chair, my hand is up. It's Bridget, Honorable Chair, and my hand is up.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Uh-huh. I just wanted to, I thought one would wait until the end of the meeting as it happened.
Yeah, you are right. Sorry. You are right. Thank you very much for cautioning me. I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit tired and drained by the funeral that is taking place and also this report. Thank you, Honorable Masa. Let me wait.
Okay.
Carry on, Yuli.
Okay, Chair. Okay, I'll wait for the, what does Linda advise, what advice is Linda give, or maybe it will come out during deliberations about the Honorable Briet, Chair. Okay, objected to through the rejection of clause 10 amending section 21. The Democratic Alliance expressed the following minority views. Many unmarried fathers are the primary caregivers of maternal orphans. It does propose that a compromise approach be adopted and include a new section 21 capital A certificate process and not the amendment proposed in section 21, subsection 1 to 4. The new certificate process goes through the family advocate or the children's court, so the necessary checks and balances to protect women, children, and fathers' rights are ensured. For example, if the mother does not agree, then mediation in terms of section 21, subsection 3 must happen before the family advocate will entertain the certificate application. The proposed amendment is aimed at enabling the children's court to also issue the certificate because in many rural areas, the family advocate is not available. Maternal orphans often do not have birth certificates and this poses a barrier to them accessing social grants and school. This certificate process will help unmarried fathers who are caring for maternal orphans to obtain the proof they need when approaching the Department of Home Affairs to register the child's birth. The child will also need a parent's assistance to obtain their ID. if they are a maternal orphan and their father does not have any proof that he is their father, the Department of Home Affairs will not accept him as a parent to assist the child to obtain their ID, and the child is at risk of never obtaining their ID. The certificate process will also enable the working father to add the child to his medical aid, pension policy, or life policy, thereby contributing to the child's financial needs in the present and future. The African Christian Democratic Party, similarly to the Democratic Alliance, submitted the following minority views. Amendments to Section 21 of the Act, as reflected in Clause 10 of the Children's Amendment Bill, forms an integral part of the comprehensive legal solution to the crisis in the foster care. Clause 10 facilitates the care of maternal orphans by unmarried fathers who have met the requirement of Section 21. It provides legal recognition and certification to unmarried fathers living with maternal orphans, enabling them to protect and care for their children and act as their legal guardian. The ACDP therefore contends that the amendments to Section 21, as reflected in Clause 10, should be incorporated into the Children's Amendment Bill currently before Parliament. However, should Clause 10 not be included in the bill as a result of the concerns raised by some MPs regarding adopting the amendments to Section 21 at this stage of the process, a compromise approach will be to adopt only the new Section 21A certificate process and not the amendments proposed in Section 21, subsection 1 to 4. The new certificate process goes through the family advocate or the children's court so that the necessary checks and balances to protect women, children, and fathers' rights are ensured. For example, if the mother does not agree, then mediation with regards to Section 21, subsection 3 must happen before the family advocate will entertain the certificate application. This certificate process will help unmarried fathers who are caring for maternal orphans to obtain the proof they need when approaching Home Affairs to register the child's birth. The child will also need a parent's assistance to obtain their ID. If they are a maternal orphan and their father does not have any proof that he is their father, Home Affairs will not accept him as a parent to assist the child to obtain their ID, and the child is at risk of never obtaining their ID. The certificate process will also enable working fathers to add the child to his medical aid, pension policy, or life policy, thereby contributing to the child's financial needs in the present and future. Inkatha Freedom Party also submitted the following minority views. Section 21 should have been included. It was in the full bill and all submissions were agreed with this section, plus the Department of, submissions agreed with this section, plus the Department of Social Development. It should have been included because many children orphaned or abandoned by their mothers are living with unmarried fathers. The amendments to Section 21 will help prevent these children ending up in foster care. The process before the committee was one to give effect to the court order, which required the committee to come up with a comprehensive, sustainable, effective legal solution. The committee was tasked to solve a major crisis affecting 700,000 orphans and thousands of abused children. By not amending this section, the end result will be that the committee might be exacerbating the crisis in the foster care system rather than alleviating it. 90% of submissions supported Section 21 is tabled. There was no reason, therefore, to defer it to a further consultative process. That was with regard to Clause 10. Clause 82, which amends Section 150 of the Act, the Democratic Alliance, the Inkatha Freedom Party, and the African Christian Democratic Party propose for the amendments of Section 150, the department's new policy that the majority of orphans in the care of family members are not in need of statutory care and protection and do not need to go through the foster care system. They submitted that the wording in the table bill should mirror the wording that was finally decided on for the National Child Care and Protection Policy 2019. After many years of consultation. However, with regard to the amendment proposed in the bill for Section 151, Subsection A, 150, Subsection 1A, this is not the case. They submitted that the wording of the bill does not ensure that orphaned or abandoned children in the care of family members will no longer have to go through the foster care system. However, it also implies that the family members must be assessed first to find out if they are suitable caregivers. This should be discouraged as DSD does not have the capacity to assess the caregivers of approximately 700,000 to 1 million orphans in the care of relatives. If they attempt to do this, it would bottleneck access to the child support grant top-up and consume scarce social worker resources that should rather be spent on responding effectively to children's calls for help and active reports of abuse, neglect, and exploitation. The wording of the table bill also goes beyond what the child care and protection policy provides, by implying that an orphaned or abandoned child who is found on their own with no caregiver can be informally placed in brackets, no court order, with a distant relative that the child has never met without there being any follow-up statutory supervision or monitoring. Abandoned or orphaned children who are not in the care of a family, such as abandoned babies or abandoned children or orphans living on their own, should be considered children in need of care and protection and eligible for foster care. The question should therefore not be about whether the child has, with underline, no parent, guardian, family member or caregiver who is able and suitable to care for that child, but rather whether the child is in the care, with underline, of a family member. The process of looking for a suitable and able caregiver for an abandoned child or orphan child who is found on their own is a foster care process and should go through the formal child care and protection system. It could be converted to guardianship after a period of time in foster care once the caregiver and the child have formed an attachment. The DSD's own child care and protection policy recognizes the principles of attachment theory and therefore uses the phrase, inverted commas, orphaned or abandoned and not in the care of a family member. These are the words that the bill should also use. This would match the DSD's own policy and be in keeping with the public submission made by the child rights organization, including the Center for Child Law, Children's Institute, Children in Distress, Network, and Child Welfare. Clause 86, amending Section 159. The Democratic Alliance submitted the following minority views. In practice, Section 152A will mean that an alternative care orders can be allowed to expire and then can be brought to the court for extension after they've expired. While this is aimed at providing a temporary solution to the foster care crisis, in particular the large number of orphans in the foster care with family members, it will also negatively affect a large number of their children in alternative care. In total, it will affect approximately 370,000 children with alternative care orders. May Chairperson here, may just explain one something. The submission from Honorable Masango was detailed, and especially on this point, it gave a breakdown of statistics and also it gave an illustration on the implications or the impact of this section. So because when I was drafting this report, Mrs. Lind, we then consulted with our peers in the committee section and also looked at what the common practice when writing this committee report. And what came out strongly was that it mainly captures the essence of the view of whatever party is raising it. So that's why some sections from Honorable Masango are not here. It's illustrating the impact or the implications of the subsection. But in essence, the main my view that is raised is that what I just read now, Chairperson. So I thought I should just explain that also for Honorable Masango's to maybe understand or advantage. Then the Inkatha Freedom Party submitted the following minority views. The amendment in the bill as tabled will allow the court to extend an already expired foster care order retrospectively. But SASSA is obliged, in terms of the Social Assistance Act, to stop paying foster care grants once the court order expires. The amendment to Section 159 will not stop grants from lapsing. If the court order expires, the SASSA computer automatically lapses the grant. If the payment does not lapse, SASSA will get an audit query. Even though the payment of the grant can backdate once the court order is extended, the child will still be without a grant until the back pay, and that could be for a year or more, as there is no time period kept in the Section 159 amendment. That was section on the expression of minority views, Chairperson. The next section now deals with the proposals that were made by honorable members with regard to the aforementioned section. Clause 10, amending Section 21. Members of the Democratic Alliance and the African Christian Democratic Party submitted additional proposals. Clause 10, amending Section 21 of the Act, which were not affected into the A list. The proposal reads as follows. Subsection 21.1A, a family advocate. Okay, something is not right here, Chair. I need to check here. Okay, yeah, that's right. A family advocate or a children's court may, in the prescribed manner, issue a certificate confirming that the biological father has automatically acquired full parental responsibilities and rights in terms of Section 1, Subsection A or 1, Subsection B on application form. A, the mother and the biological father jointly. B, the biological father, after reaching an agreement during the mediation process referred to in subsection 3, or C, the biological father, if, Roman figure 1, in terms of subsection 3, he referred the matter for mediation and the mother, after receiving such notice of mediation, unreasonably refused to attend the mediation, or 2, the mother is deceased or has abandoned the child, and 3, the biological father has shown to the satisfaction of the family advocate or the children's court that he has automatically acquired full parental responsibilities and rights in terms of subsection 1A or 1B. So, subsection 1B, a proposal here is, if the child's mother is deceased or has abandoned the child, and the child's father is not the child's primary caregiver, the family advocate or the children's court should hear representations from the child's primary caregiver and the child before making a finding on the Section 21A certificate. and where applicable, should also assist the father and primary caregiver to complete a parenting rights and responsibilities agreements in terms of Section 22. With regard to Clause 82, amending Section 150, Subsection 1, members of the Democratic Alliance, African Christian Democratic Party, and the Inkatha Freedom Party submitted an additional proposal to Clause 82, amending Section 15, Subsection 1 of the Act, which was not effected into the A list. The proposal read as follows. The bill should replace the words "has no family member who is able and suitable to care for that child, which is not in the care of a family member." It is important that the Act is clear that orphan children who are already in the care of a family member are not considered in need of statutory care and protection, that is, in need of foster care. For instance, an orphan who has been living with their granny for the past 10 years should rather be referred to SASSA to obtain the child support grant top-up and then assisted by the children's court to obtain legal guardianship. This approach recognizes the principles of attachment theory, that is, that an existing and established bond of attachment between a child and caregiver is recognized as a family relationship that does not require the state to supervise or assess the suitability of the caregiver, in brackets, unless someone has alleged abuse or neglect, or there's a family dispute about who has parental responsibility and rights, in which case other subsections of Section 151A apply, close bracket. With regard to Clause 86, amending Section 159, members of the Democratic Alliance and Inkatha Freedom Party submitted an additional proposal to Clause 86, amending Section 159 of the Act, which was not effected into the A list. The proposal read as follows. 2A, for 3 years from the date of commencement of this Act in relation to orphaned or abandoned children in foster care with family members, a court may extend an order that has lapsed or make an interim extension of an order for a period not exceeding 6 months on good cause shown, and if such an extension will be in the best interest of the child. That's the end of the draft report.
Yoli?
Yes, Jefferson.
Are you done?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you very much. Yoli and Lindy, can we then get into the deliberations of this? I see Honorable Stock said.
So, thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson, let me start by appreciating the comprehensive report that has been presented to us. Also, not forgetting or taking into consideration the amount of work that came or that actually had to come in towards the consolidation of the report from the onset throughout the deliberations which we had as a portfolio committee. I would like to, in advance, the team, the legal team, as well as the support team in the portfolio committee for the work. And I also want to put it here to the portfolio committee that it was not an easy process. We all know that this was a lengthy process. When we started, COVID also came in. We had to pause, and then we had to reconvene. And then we had our own issues as well in the portfolio committee. But having looked at the report itself, Honorable Chairperson,
I'm of the view, safe to say that I'm of the view that the report covers the comprehensive deliberations in the committee. And then it covers all our views in the committee, those that have agreed, those that had a different view and all of that, having looked at the report. So I think from where I'm sitting, I agree that this report represents a comprehensive collegial perspective of what transpired in the committee. So therefore, by saying that, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to formally move for the adoption of the report as a true reflection of what happened in the portfolio committee with regard to the Children's Amendment Bill, from where it started up to the end, up to the approach that we have considered as a portfolio committee to consider the foster care related clauses, put the other clauses in the form of a committee bill, and then the A-list which were adopted, also the B-list that we adopted today as a portfolio committee. So having said that, Honorable Chairperson, I would formally would like to move for the adoption of the committee report. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Stock.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, you haven't raised your hand then.
To also join all comrades of National Member Stock by appreciating the report. And also, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the officials, the support staff about the job that they have done. So I'm moving to by saying I also like to second Member Stock about adopting the report. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honorable. I see the hands of Honorable Bridget. And then Bridget or Lizelle. And then Bridget. Can we follow that sequence? Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to you. And sorry that I'm only joining now. I'm in a caucus workshop, but let me also just first and foremost echo the sentiments of my colleagues that spoke before me. I think this was a long road that we've walked together as a portfolio committee. And yes, we did agree and disagree at times, but I think it's imperative that we thank our support staff for this report and the hard work that has gone into this, as well as our legal advisors. However, I just want to make two or three submissions just for the record, and it's not for debate, it's just that I want to put that on record. On page six, the second paragraph, it reads that it was also the proposal and it was agreed that the process will start afresh at a next meeting. And I think I just wanted to put on record, because I didn't have the opportunity last time. What I recall was that Honorable Bridget had pointed out that we were working from old documents. And then we had agreed that we will restart the process to work from the updated, corrected documents. We didn't say we will start the process afresh. And by that, I mean we had agreed to Section 21, Clause 10. We didn't agree that we will negate or rewind the process to start again. Then it also reads Clause 10, Section 21, received substantial public input that needed extensive public participation. I think the point that I raised there was that that clause received widespread support, and more than 90% of people, including DSC, supported that clause, which was Section 21, Clause 10, as tabled. So I just wanted to correct that. And finally, I think when we speak about the issue of opposition members walking out, I think it was my reflection, which I just want to add, that we didn't walk out because of Section 21, but we walked out because there was a dispute about what the committee had agreed upon, and exactly the point that I'm raising now.
Honorable Mutaung, switch mute?
I'm muted, Chair.
Okay, sure.
Chair, in wrapping up, I just want to say that it was my reflection or my understanding that when we talk in the minutes about members of the opposition walking out, we didn't walk out because of Section 21. We walked out because we couldn't find each other on the agreements that we had made in the previous meeting. And so when consensus was not reached, we walked out in protest. And I just wanted to put those 3 points in clarification, that it be recorded for official purposes. And I thank you very much, Chairperson, once again, for leading us in this process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lizelle. What I like is that you are saying it's for noting and correction in or amendments in some way there. Thank you very much. I think it's noted. Yeah. Thanks, Lizelle. Bridget, the next hand was Bridget.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I could not agree more with the colleagues that have just spoken about how well the report has been written and how much of work it must have had to go through for it to get to the final product that it is at the moment. I totally agree and accept the explanation that was given earlier by our content advisor, Yoli, with regard to not having been able to put all the details that came with the report. And so I think I just want to thank colleagues and our support staff for the whole process, because it sounds like today is the last part of the phase of the processing of this bill. Chairperson, I need to agree with what Honorable Fanemeva has said about the fact that what I actually said, what has now ended up in the report as having been the reason why the agreement among the committee members on having a clause 10, section 21 as a surviving clause is that it's not accurately put in the report, because what I said at that meeting was that we were reading, or the parliamentary legal advisor was reading from the tabled bill with no amendment that had been effected to that point. So that was not the reason to then take out or go back on what we had agreed in terms of the number of surviving clauses, especially Section 21 and 24, as it were. So I just want that to be on record, Chair, not negating the work that has been done in putting this report together. And the one other thing, Chairperson, that I would like to raise has to do with the way that what we are calling for purposes of this meeting, the minority views, as the rules demand for us to say, is that when we agreed that there was going to be minority reports or a minority report, what we went away and did was to write a minority report, which we thought would represent the views of the minority or of the opposition parties as a whole, as that those were the things that we kept raising during the deliberations of the bill. So the secretary and the content advisor did alert me to the fact that the rules do not allow for the minority report, but they allow for minority views. What I did not mention when we spoke was that the reason why there is no name of the Democratic Alliance on the report that I wrote was because it was representing the minority parties or opposition parties, as we call them. So I don't know, to what extent this explanation that I'm making and the understanding that I had will go to actually change and take out the names of the parties and just say the opposition parties or the minority parties, because I am confident that I am saying this on behalf and of the colleagues in the opposition parties as a whole. And Chair, that for me is the last I would like to say. And I also want to thank the chair herself for having tried to drive this ship, and the colleagues, and with all the disagreements, which I believe are hallmarks of any democracy or democratic process. And thank you all so much for this work. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Princess. It was not an easy task, really. But thank you very much for understanding. And we are really making the amendments on the report, which I don't think there is a train smash on correcting them. I think if I hear you correctly, you are saying we rather say minority parties than rather to name the individual parties, which is not a train smash. It can be amended, as you have. Thank you, Honorable Mario.
Can I say something, Chair, just for clarity?
Yeah.
What do Honorable Nosago just said now? I just want to make sure I get it right, because we received submission from Honorable Fana Merve for the IFP. We received from Honorable Sukers from ACDP, and then we received from Mama Masango from the Democratic Alliance. So are you now, ma'am, saying I should rather write opposition parties and take out what I've written as per the submission that were made by these other members from the other parties? I just want to make sure that I get it right. So are you saying,
She is saying, Yuli, right, would rather say minority parties than to name them by... I don't see anything on that one. So she's saying you just write minority parties. It's fine.
I think she's a procedural advisor. Maybe her hand is up. Maybe she wants to say something.
Okay. Yes. Can we then allow Marie Sukers to finish up, and then we give Lindy to find up, because we are really at the end of this.
Okay.
Lindy will give us. Marie? Honorable Marie Sukers?
Yes, Chairperson. Chair, I am covered by what was by Sis Bridget in support of what was said by Honorable Fana Merwe. I think the only thing that I would want to just also add is that, amplify is the is to say thank you for the job done by Sis Lindiwe and Yoli and the support staff. It certainly, in terms of the work that they've done and try to capture what happened in terms of the detail of this report, I just want to acknowledge that. But I am covered by what was said by Sis Bridget or Honorable Masango, and I would support that as well. And I want to also just say to my fellow committee members, thank you so much for what was indeed a very interesting journey. I do hope that what we have learned as we listen to these submissions will assist us to deliberate effectively and deal with the rest of this bill that is before us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sukers. Polnit?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also would like to say thank you to you
as the chairperson of this committee and all the committee members and everyone that was part of the process. I want to agree with my colleagues that spoke before me that it was a process. We sometimes had our difficulties. We at Lockheed sometimes, but at the end of the day, it was for the best of the communities out there. And like the previous member was saying that it is coming from the opposition parties. The way we discussed, because we said not everyone is going to write in so that we don't confuse things with two or three people were going to write and then it's going to be on behalf of the minorities. But I think this process learned us and has taught us a lot that, you know, each of us, we have our own views. We come from political parties, but we have the same thing in common, is that we want the best for our communities. And for that, I can say thank you to each and everyone. For me, it was a learning curve because I wasn't from the process, from the beginning of the process here, but I've learned a lot from each and everyone. And Chair, thank you very much for everything that you have done through this difficult time with this process that we went through. Thank you very much to Lindy and all the others that was part of this process. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Cornet. That is progressive. Lindy?
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to provide the advice regarding the matter of member Brietne about her view. She can participate and also her view can be expressed in the report, but the only thing that she cannot do is to vote. So the especially for clause 10, she was amongst the members that objected at the exclusion of clause 10, I mean in section 21. Chair, now that there is a proposal from member Masango not to list the minority parties who objected to express their minority view, and then we put them as minority parties. I consulted that is allowed because the rules allows members they can make their own arrangements. So now we will try to redraft and put all the minority view as it comes from the minority parties, because what you have done, upon receipt of different reports, views from members, so we try to capture according to what a political party expressed in their submission. If the minority parties are in agreement that we need to capture all the minority views as if they come from all the minority parties, we will do that with you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to reflect that now that the report has been adopted, Chair, with the amendments, Chair, the next thing, the report will be in the ATC, and then the House will need to maybe, I think in the next term, scheduled a debate for the second reading, where members will prepare their speech and debate on the bill, and then we'll have the we'll print the bill. You will see the bill, and then will be accessible to parliamentary website, the new amendment bill, and then it will be subsequently referred upon the after the debate. It will go to the NCOP to start their 6-week cycle to consider the bill. Thank you very much, Tay. We also appreciate as well the positive comments. And it wasn't easy for us as the officials. We had this night, not knowing what will happen in the meeting. Thank you very much for having such positive, you know, comments about the process. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lindy. Let me first inform the member.
Chair Member Abraham Shand, and I don't know whether the deputy is still with us, Chair.
She's not with us.
Okay.
She's not with us now. I was going to say so because I wanted her to do the closing remark. Okay. Shame she's not with us, but we really appreciate what she did by being with us today. You are saying, Honorable Alex, okay, the left hand is Honorable Alex. Let's give her so that I do the closing remark. Are we still going to do the minutes, Linda?
Not today, Chair.
Yeah.
We didn't schedule them. Maybe in the third, in our first meeting.
The next meeting, yeah.
The next 10, Chair.
Alex, let's give over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My matter is just an internal business matter, unrelated to the Children's Amendment Bill. That's why I just waited until the end, but also wanted to get you before you close the meeting. So if you will allow me.
Okay.
So Chairperson, as you are aware, you know, stakeholders send letters to the Portfolio Committee, you know, quite often raising concerns that they have. And sometimes when, you know, they aren't responded to, you know, they write to individual committee members. So I just would like to hear from you, Chair, what is the process for these letters to be attended to by the full committee, because it's a matter for the entire committee to look at and, you know, not just individual members. And I speak in relation to an email and letter dated by Solidarity, dated the 15th of June, that was referred to me now on Monday because they've got no response. So if you can just give me direction how these stakeholders' matters then appear on our next agenda, if I need to then write to Lindy to ask for it to appear on our next agenda, noting that we have been consumed with the Children's Amendment Bill and now we can turn our attention to other matters of concern. So just a point of clarity, will it be on our next agenda or do I now need to write to Lindy and yourself requesting for it to be on our next agenda? Thank you, Jane.
Yes, thank you very much for understanding. It needs to be put in the next agenda. You are right. At least it is critical, but really it's our first time to hear it. Then it can be accommodated in that agenda. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.
Honorable members, let me first thank everyone in a meeting. Let me thank everyone in the meeting. And I am short of words to thank everyone. Starting from the department, advisors, honorable members, for us to be here where we are right now, looking at how far is this bill coming from. Yeah, we need to pat ourselves on our shoulders. It was not easy, and we understand that, yes, we do have different views. I'm not going to repeat what honorable members have said, but you have shown the committee that you are really working as a family. For us, at least at the end of the day, to reach where we are, I agree with you. With the report that has just been presented, other things, I have forgotten about them, but because of the report, I was just reminded by the report. Thanks ever so much, backup staff. Because Ulindi has already outlined the process, what's going to happen, honorable members should get ready. Let me sign. Honorable members should get ready to debate. Honorable members are also free to debate as we have done in the, what is this, in the committee report. And also what is needed is that the report has been adopted by Honorable Stock and seconded by Honorable Mutawung. You know, you won't believe it with Honorable Mutawung and other honorable members that were sometimes not well, but they show the commitment by coming to the meeting, even if they were not well. Where's the person? So they were not well, but they tried their level best to be with us. Yo, I won't believe it. Even now, you can feel and hear Honorable Motaung is not well. And most of the honorable members, because of the weather conditions, they were not well, but they tried to attend. Thank you ever so much. I really appreciate the work that we have done. I have really appreciated what we have done, but I know for a fact that all the amendments that have been put by honorable members, all the amendments that have been done by honorable members will be inserted. So the report has been amended, has been adopted with amendments, which means then there is progress. You were wonderful, honorable members. You were wonderful, department, stakeholders that attended our meetings. I will never forget this process. I know for a fact that we were all learning. As a result, we were sometimes requesting to be given in advice by legal advisors and also by the secretary to give us what is it that is going to happen. Thanks ever so much. Unfortunately, the DM has left because she requested us to be given permission to attend to the doctor. Thank you ever so much once more. Thanks. Be blessed by God and have a wonderful constituency week. And now, next week, we won't have meeting until the next time and we will get the program. Thank you. Love you all. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mar.